Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Do we have plans for Valentine's Day? No, we don't. We're actually on a liver flush.
Oh, how romantic. Babe, happy Valentine's Day. I got you a liver flush. Do you have to go to the bathroom?
I got you a new enema kit.
Do you need the bathroom for any reason? I'm going to go use our new enema kit.
That would actually be something that you guys would get each other for Valentine's Day. You guys are so rad.
Oh, that's really funny. We went away to Nevada City, and so we couldn't take another like weekend, and so we decided this would be a good time to do another flush, since we're doing it monthly now. So, nothing romantic today. Although I did wake up and I made, I bought this new waffle iron from Costco. Oh, and it's nice. A stand-up waffle iron. You saw it.
What? You pour the batter inside?
Well, for the fact that it's stand-up makes it like fit anywhere. So I can put it, I can store it. And that's always an issue in little houses. But then it's got this little spout on top, and you just pour the mix into the top, and then you have to leave it on for the full time, and then I butter the inside, of course.
Ooh, of course.
Yeah, and then it gets crispy, and then it just dings when it's ready, but I leave it a few extra minutes to get it more crispy, and then you just open it, and the whole thing just flops. It's just like, you don't even have to peel it off the iron. It's so good.
What's your recipe?
Well, that's actually why I'm doing it, because I'm writing my next book.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I signed my contract. I'm writing my book, and I'm testing a bunch of recipes. And one of the recipes is a gluten-free waffle or pancake, but it has bacon in it.
Oh, God, yes.
I mean, you got to do that, right? And, yeah.
Did this one have bacon this morning?
It did.
Did you feed it to Charlie?
Yeah, he loves it.
I bet he loved it. Gluten-free.
Gluten-free.
What's the...
Well, that mix was actually the Pamela's mix, which mm-hmm. has a little sugar in it, but I was just testing out the waffle maker.
I see.
First, and then
what's she using? Garbanzo flour and potato
starch? I thought I saw tapioca flour. There's like multiple flours in there. But yeah, it's good. I mean, I think I can do a better job.
Yeah. You ever use the paleo blend that like... What's Mm-mm. his name? Oh, it's good.
No, I don't know that one.
Yeah, there's an actual, it says on the label, paleo blend.
Okay.
I think it's almond flour, cassava root. Cassava root.
Cassava.
Where did cassava come from?
It's
all of a sudden, it's like in everything now.
Yeah, cassava tortillas.
Isn't that, don't you love when that happens?
Mm-hmm.
It's like something's like gone, and then all of a sudden it's like celery juice in the morning. It's good for everything.
All of a sudden everybody's talking about celery juice.
Like, yeah, people have known since literally like the 60s. Yeah. Gerson was doing celery juice in like the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And
maybe
all of a sudden, like,
that.
The medical medium's like, you know.
Yeah, I channeled this alien from the planet Sirius, and he said,
you should start drinking celery juice.
Have you ever heard of celery?
I love his posts, though. They're just so sweet. They're so simple. It's like, blueberries are really good for this.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, but I love it because it is very approachable.
Uh-huh.
Right? You know, like he makes it extremely approachable
to
people.
Well, that's what it is, isn't mm-hmm. it? It's not like you're being like drowned with clinical data or with, you know, like big old words, which,
right.
you know, I'm the same way. It's like the more simple you can make something for me, the better, the more likely I'm going to do it.
Yeah. I've you know, watched his interviews and stuff, and he's not proclaiming to introduce new material in.
Mm-hmm.
What he's simply saying is, these are everything. This is everything at its essence.
Mm.
Like, I'm reintroducing you to everything at its essence.
I see.
But there are a lot of haters on him. Have you seen that?
Well, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's so silly to hate on anybody that's just trying to help people.
That's it.
You know, it's so silly. But I will say about him.
Yeah.
Since we're on about
Get
hating. Well, I will say that, you know, I don't agree with everything he says, but who cares?
Right.
Like, but, you know, he says some things about liver cleansing. Like, he really is all for liver cleansing, but not in the way that we do it with Andreas Moritz liver flush with the, you know, and he's not into taking liver pills or eating the liver of any animal. And, you know, I just think that talk about the essence and talk about reintroducing old wisdom into mm-hmm. our diets. I mean, that is some of the oldest wisdom, is to be able to eat the organs of the animals that, you know, we're already eating and actually get a tremendous amount of nutrition from it. Mm. Like there, you know, there's tribes that like Weston Price was studying that have taken that they actually feed liver puree to raw liver puree. That's the first thing the baby eats, a newborn baby, because it upregulates the healthy digestion in the baby. It gives them bacterial content. It gives them all the nutrients they need. And when, wow. you know, so, but he had this notion that, oh, the liver's filthy and it processes all these toxins. So why would you eat it? But plants process toxins.
Right.
You know, plants process the air we breathe and talk about filthy. Mm. And there we are eating it, you know. It's just that's the nature of organs. It's the nature of plants. That's mm-hmm. just the way it is. So, but it doesn't harbor the toxins. It rids the body of the toxins. It's mm. not like it saturates it and holds it. You right. don't want to eat, you know. You don't want to eat a nasty cow's liver.
Right.
That's sick and dying. But
yeah.
Anyway.
I've tried, you know, I was just at a festival, film festival. One mm-hmm. of, you know, the short that we did got into this film festival.
Right.
The Capes Vegan, right? So it's like a vegan.
Vegan film festival.
Vegan film festival. And
can you imagine like a meat film festival?
Oh, all of them are meat festivals. You know what I mean? Like the things that they serve at these film festivals are right. like, you know, things wrapped in bacon. But I'm there and I'm talking to all these vegans, you know, and I tried that road. I went down that road for a long time.
I remember.
You know, and physically just not doing well and like trying to eat very consciously and just didn't feel good at all.
Right.
And thank God it didn't necessarily come up, you know, while I was there, but I was like preparing myself that if this did come up and somebody asked me like, so are you vegan?
Yeah.
But you know, is it Dr. Hyman, Mark Hyman?
Uh-huh.
You know? He has that, he's branded this thing pagan?
Oh gosh.
Where it's like paleo and vegan.
Oh gosh.
And he's like, I'm kind of one of those where like, I don't eat like tons of meat, but then I don't eat like all dairy. Like I'm like kind of like right in the middle.
Oh, that's my friend Jackie. Yeah. She's kind of like, she's like a pescatarian, but she's doing paleo. She's mm-hmm. like a paleoscatarian. I don't know. I'm just an omnivore, just trying to get all of the most wholesome possible high quality products into mm-hmm. my diet, you mm-hmm. know, and the things that irritate me, I just avoid.
Totally.
You know, and yeah. depends on the season. Sometimes I can have, like we were talking about green juice this morning. Mm. I just can't do it when it's cold. I know it cools off my digestion and that makes it harder for me to digest all of these grounding meat foods and starches and things that I'm having at this time of year.
Mm.
Speaking of, yeah, it kind of almost dilutes and cools off my stomach acid.
I see.
And that is a huge problem, particularly for me.
Yep. How do you get your stomach acid then back into the level? Because I have low stomach acid also.
Yeah.
Traditionally, you know, forever, just had very low stomach acid.
I mean, it's so common. It's not an uncommon thing, you know. Mm-hmm. It's probably more common than anything else. Well, first of all, we should talk about what stomach acid, what the importance is. Like people think, oh, you know, HCL is just for digesting animal protein and I'm mm-hmm. a vegetarian or a vegan and I don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
That is the most biggest piece of misinformation that a person could possibly believe in. Mm. Because yeah, it does do that, but it also helps you. It's like your first line of defense in your immunity. It helps you to assimilate all your B vitamins. You actually cannot assimilate your B vitamins without adequate stomach acid.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then on top of that, you're not even getting adequate B vitamins because someone's a vegetarian or vegan. That's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to the idea that, okay, you're ingesting all this meat and you're like, I'm an omnivore. Mm-hmm. And then you've got all these health issues and you're wondering why. It could be because you're not breaking down that meat. You're not breaking down what you're eating. So that's its first function, is to help you break down animal proteins and then assimilate all those B vitamins. And then, gosh, what are B vitamins good for? Mm. Every single function the human body has. Right. So I wrote down some stuff earlier because I was reading this article. But, you know, all of these genetic mutations that people are getting, that people have, they're taking the genetic testing, like the 23andMe and different things, ancestral, whatever, and they're finding out that they have these genetic mutations, like the MTHFR and different types of genetic SNPs, right? So it's basically saying you cannot process certain things the way other people. You can't. You need extra B vitamins, or you need folate instead. You need methylfolate instead of folic acid. You need. It's all. It's very complex. But basically, what they're saying is that with the MTHFR, you're not able to detox the way other people are. Your liver is impaired because of it. And so, you know, we never knew about these things before 23andMe. So what's going on? How come all of a sudden I'm having these issues? And 15 years ago, I wasn't having these issues. Is it because we found out? You know, we looked at it and all of a sudden it happened. But what I think is just really more basic than that, it's about your stomach acid production. And so, I mean, I'm telling you, for 13, 12 years now, I've been saying this and learned it from Dr. Marshall and Dr. Medici. And it's like stomach acid, stomach acid, stomach acid. And people get so fed up with me saying it. I have clients who seriously will send me an email and haven't talked to in ages. And they'll say, you know, I'm having this issue. I'm like, how's your HCL product? You know, what are you taking? And they're like, you know, I stopped taking it like a long time ago because I felt better. And then I just stopped. Like, okay, so here we go. We got to go through it again. And yeah, it gets a little bit annoying to hear me repeat myself over and over. But the reason is because it is so crucial. So people get so caught up in all of this genetic mutations and hypothyroidism and fibromyalgia and all the symptoms, this layered cake of symptoms. And they forget that at the bottom of that cake begins what you put in your mouth and how you break it down, period.
Done skis.
That's it.
Yeah.
And if you are not doing that adequately, you know, properly, if that's not a well-oiled machine, eating it, breaking it down, disinfecting it, and then assimilating it, and then pooping it out, the waste from it, that's everything. So, yeah, and so things like, okay, if you're not assimilating your B vitamins, so you're not assimilating B6, let's say, well, migraines, hormone issues, gallbladder issues, you know, weight gain, fatty liver disease, this is a problem with B6. I mean, that's just a couple. There's so many symptoms that come from B6 deficiency. And then B12, all right, your entire digestive system cannot function adequately with B12, without B12. So if you're not, if you're like, oh, I eat meat, I eat so much meat, or I take a B vitamin, or I, you know, you're not going to assimilate
it.
Yeah, there's so many vitamins. There's so many things that you're not going to absorb. So now you've got malabsorption because your stomach acid. So what depletes stomach acid? So you can go all the way back to when you were born. You can go to medications. Antibiotics are the first thing. Ongoing stress, PTSD, emotional stress.
Really?
Will absolutely deplete stomach acid.
Is it, how's that, psychosomatically?
No, it's because stomach acid requires a really high pH content in the body, a really high level of tissue oxygen, of minerals. It requires minerals. You need magnesium, you need potassium, you need all these minerals, sodium chloride, to make HCL. And so when you don't, when you're stressed, you deplete magnesium, you deplete your mineral levels when you're stressed out. Yeah. It costs you minerals to stress out. So when people have PTSD, or they have, you know, severe emotional trauma, or like first responders who are constantly having to see things that they, you know, no one should have to see, or experience tragedy all the time on a regular basis, or just high stress level stuff like a first responder, or like a air traffic controller, or just, you know, living in LA, these things, like constant, or a bad relationship, or you name it, constant depletion. Your mineral levels are going to be depleted, 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 especially magnesium. And then this depletes your ability to make the hydrochloric acid in the first place. So you are basically have an empty tank. And then your body defaults to using lactic acid when you don't have adequate hydrochloric acid. And when you make lactic acid, it's way more corrosive than hydrochloric acid. And that creeps up into your gut. Yep. It messes with your ileocecal valve, so mm-hmm. it's not functioning properly. So the acid gets up into your throat easily. Mm-hmm. People get GERD. People get, you know, gastritis.
Oh, yeah.
And all that comes.
GERD.
Yeah. And then they go to their doctor. And what does the doctor say? You've got too much stomach acid. Let's put you on an antacid or a protein pump inhibitor.
Yep, yep.
Yeah.
Ooh, I had GERD. I had the GERD. I was so so embarrassed. I have GERD.
You're so young for GERD.
I was 20-something, and I got diagnosed with GERD, which stemmed, though, from being on antibiotics as a young child, mm-hmm. coming into the world already compromised, and mm-hmm. then getting straight on to formula, mm-hmm. high sugar mm-hmm. formula, not being breastfed, then stress, continued through, and then chronic illness, and then prescription medication all the way through into adult, and then adult just kind of forgot, just let it go and forgot about it, but always suffered with serious stomach acid issues. Mm-hmm. And then finally coming to the, like, okay, I got to go seek Western, and getting diagnosed with GERD. But then their solution was to throw in antibiotics and just, like, you know, prescription anti,
like Nexium.
Yeah. Oh yeah. God, it was awful.
Yeah.
And I just kept getting sicker and sicker and mm-hmm. sicker.
I mean, it really is a cluster, you know what, mm-hmm. because it's just a level of ignorance that is not uncommon. It's ignorance. They don't know. They don't know. They're treating the symptoms with something, and they're making it worse by treating the symptom.
Totally.
Only.
So let's say, okay, so first with the HCL, how do you know how much HCL to take?
So I would say that, you know, when I start off with a client, the first thing we do is digestion, and people get frustrated with that. They'll say, oh, I have hypothyroid. Why are we starting with my gut?
Yeah.
You know, or they'll say, I've got, you know, toe fungus. Why are we starting with my gut? Mm-hmm. And it's like, we can't, if you go see someone and they don't start with your gut, mm-hmm. run, go find someone else, because it is the most important thing. So what if they set you up with this whole new fancy diet and all these, you know, $250 a month in supplements, mm-hmm. and you're not digesting them, you're not absorbing them. It's money gone down the toilet, and you maybe get like some benefit from mm-hmm. it. So the first thing you have to do is determine whether or not you can take the HCL. Mm. So, you know, the thing with going back to medical medium, the celery juice, that's one of the main things mm-hmm. that I believe that it's really good for. Yes, it's cleaning the cells. It's alkalizing your system, it's mm-hmm. you know, hydrating you, it's doing a lot of wonderful things that he mentions, but he mentions least of all is the hydrochloric acid building up in the gut, because celery is, we talked about this before, mm-hmm. it's 25% sodium chloride. And that's what HCL, it contributes to the making of HCL. I mean, hydrochloric acid, mm-hmm. sodium chloride. It uses the chloride from sodium chloride to help make hydrochloric acid. So the celery is really good for that. But, you know, if you have a history like yourself, I mean, that's a lot of celery juice drinking.
Yeah.
And I think that that's fine. But uh-huh. I'm happy for anyone who can go that route and be successful. I think it's great. Great. But I think that some help is needed, mm-hmm. you know. And I think someone like you and myself, I will be on hydrochloric acid for the rest of our lives. Mm-hmm. That's just the way it has to be. Mm-hmm. And I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I am completely fine, especially because it's not that expensive if you get it from PRL. It's like $14 for 90 capsules.
You still take it?
Oh, I take it every day.
Do you?
Every day.
Every meal?
Not every meal. Uh-huh. I used to take it every meal. So let's go back to your first question, which is, how do you know how much to take and how do you know? So first you have to determine, can someone take it? So I always say, all right, take one capsule. And there's all this misinformation on the internet. It cracks me up and sometimes frustrates me. And I could set my clock to it. No, they say you take two pills and you take as many pills until the burning starts, and then you back off one or you off two or something like that.
Yeah.
It's like HCL should never burn you. Ever. It should never burn you. Unless you open the capsule and take it in a glass of water, it might burn your tongue or your throat. Mm. Some people have to do that because they can't swallow capsules. But it should not give you heartburn. If it's giving you heartburn, you're either dehydrated mm-hmm. or your stomach needs, or you're too full. Sometimes if you have really, like if I eat too much and then I take HCL, I'll get a little discomfort. Mm-hmm. It's like it's trying to be in the stomach, but there's all that food in there. So you should, so if it's burning, you either ate too much, you're dehydrated, or you have some problems in the stomach lining. And that usually is, so one of the things also is that when you start to have a diminished capacity to make it, it changes the environment of the stomach. It changes the pH when you don't have that HCL production. So the acid level goes down, or goes up, I should say. The pH goes up. So acidic would be down. The pH goes up and it becomes a little more alkaline in there. And that's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be like battery acid, like 1.0, 2.0 in the stomach.
Wow.
Like melt a penny, you know? Like you could swallow a penny and it should melt it. And I swallowed a penny when I was in kindergarten. I choked on it. And I thought I was looking in my poop for days for it, and it never came out.
Oh, you must have burnt it.
I must have totally melted it. That's a crazy story. But anyway, so when that environment changes, you know, you've got all these hundreds of thousands of bacteria, microbes living in your stomach lining, and they all have a job in there. Some of them are commensal, like they just hang out and wait for something to do, wait for the environment to change. And some of them, you know, they help you to digest your food. They help keep things in check. Like, you know, you naturally have H. pylori living in the lining of your stomach. It's bacteria. And if the environment, you know, and these good bacteria keep that in check, even though H. pylori has a good function in the stomach. But you change the environment and these guys start to die. The good guys start to die off and reduce in number. And then the bad guys are like, hell yeah. And they start to throw a party. And now you've got this overgrowth of H. pylori starting to eat holes into your stomach and cause ulcers, eventually stomach cancer. You know, you've got, forget about digesting your food. It's just impossible now. So you've got this domino effect of things that have happened because you changed the pH of your stomach. So, and that's why alkaline water and stuff like that when you have a meal is such a bad idea. Like it's just, I think it's just a crazy idea to throw $1,500 into an alkalizing water machine.
Right.
When, you can change the pH on those machines, but it's like, you just buy water.
Right.
You know, we're not meant to get our minerals and alkalization from water anyway, you know? So, anyway, so then you have to take, so if you take an HCL and it burns, then I say drink plenty of water after, and then you can take it up to 30 minutes after the HCL, and then try it again at your next meal. And if it happens again, now we know we have some environmental change in the in the stomach. The pH has been altered, and we need to remediate it. And if you have H. pylori, you won't be able to take HCL. You have to. If it's an advanced thing, if you're already with severe GERD and heartburn and things, acid reflux, you have to first heal the stomach. So
How do you do that?
Yeah. So, you know, high quality aloe, celery juice. Yeah. Not medical medium celery juice, just that's been around since forever. That celery juice.
Just celery juice.
Excuse me. And
there was a great story about Yogi Bhajan.
Yogi Bhajan. Yeah,
the Kundalini Sikh. He, one of the yogis that we were working with, you know, Tommy and I were working with in the 70s, was addicted to heroin. And when he came and he found him, he said, you stop taking drugs now. And he said, okay. And he said, I want you to drink celery juice. Start drinking celery juice every day. And he said, how much? He goes, as much as you can drink. And so he did. He started drinking celery juice every single day. He drank as much as he could for 1 year. For a year straight.
How much do you think he was drinking?
He said he was drinking 4 8-16-ounce glasses a day.
Wow, that's almost a gallon of celery juice.
Yeah, a day. And he said it completely changed his life.
I bet.
Yeah, but this was in the 70s. Wow. This is Yogi Bhajan saying, you know, calling it in from somewhere.
Yeah.
And he said he was so sick of drinking celery juice at certain points, he would like put it in a bowl and drink it like soup.
Yeah.
Just to mix it up a little bit, you know? And, but I said, what were you not intaking, you know? And he goes, I wasn't eating at that point really any fat or any meat. I was basically just drinking celery juice.
And
he said, he got so thin and so skinny that after a year he saw the master again, Yogi Bhajan, and he said, okay, you should start eating food again. You know, like you're,
he
you're
brought
good.
Him yeah, in and out,
but he brought him all the way down.
Wow.
To that healing crisis, all the way down. And then he was like, okay, you can start
to replenish.
To replenish.
That's so fascinating.
Yeah.
I wonder if I would make it a year. I think I would just probably die. Yeah, no fat. Oh, gosh.
So he was just craving like fat.
Yeah, you know. I'm sure. I mean, just think about doing that for 10 days.
Oh, God.
Now I feel like I have to.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
Well, that's what I was saying about the wheatgrass. I really want to do wheatgrass for 10 days. And just, I never used to be able to drink wheatgrass because it was too intense for me. I didn't have the stomach acid to process it. And that's another thing. Low stomach, when you get nauseous from supplements, that's a low stomach acid issue as well. I mean, not always. Like, you don't want to take certain supplements. Like, a multivitamin on an empty stomach is going to make anybody nauseous.
What about, because I'm taking a probiotic just recently and it's making me nauseous.
No, because the stomach acid is no. I mean, that's hard to say. I don't. I definitely don't think it has to do with the low stomach acid.
Okay.
Because the low stomach acid is actually good for the probiotic, because then it can make it all the way to the large intestine where it needs to get.
Maybe it's not the probiotic then.
I don't know. We'll have to investigate. Let's go through it right now.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, what's interesting? So, with regards to like the HCL, what came up for me was like, how frustrating it can be when you're sick and not feeling well, and you're like, okay, I don't really know what it is. You know, I've got a thyroid issue, or I've got like some kind of fungal issue, or candida, or whatever. And then I'm like, you're like, okay, well, how's your digestion? You know, and to take it all the way back to the root when you're really struggling is really challenging,
difficult.
Man.
Especially if people don't have, you have the knowledge, but if people don't have the knowledge, then they get really like, oh, I don't get it, you know, and then they get, that's, you know, I definitely, people don't like it, you know, and I lose clients, and that's okay. You know, I'm here if you need me, but if you can't do this thing, look, if you're not feeling well and it's chronic, you have to see, even if it's not chronic, if you just one day you're like, oh, I don't feel so good. You know, before you're like, did I catch something from outside? Did I, you know, if you start looking outside for the answers, already you're on the wrong foot. Just ask yourself, what did I consume? And is it possible I didn't digest it? Is it possible that I had a meal under stress and that food is sitting in my gut rotting? It went past my stomach undigested, and it's sitting in my intestines and my body wants it out.
I see.
Could that be? And then I was working with a bunch of children who were sick, or I was, you know, my kid is sick or whatever. And now I'm feeling like, what could it be? Well, maybe, you know, it's immediately, like I said, it's your first line of defense in your immunity. Your first line of defense. In fact, I love talking about this whole concept of, like, if you have a twin brother and you guys have been frickin' frack your whole lives, you do the same things, you eat the same things, and then one day your brother starts to maybe go a different route and his immunity isn't as great anymore. Maybe he got into drugs or something. And then you guys went on a trip together and you both got bit by a spider, a deadly spider or a really poisonous spider, and he gets really, really sick and you don't. What was it that protected him, you, and not him?
Right.
People are like, I don't know. I mean, you guys are identical. What could be different? What could possibly be different? Well, his ability to disinfect his own body from that foreign invader, you know? And Dr. Marshall used to say, if you die before the age of 85 from anything other than a tragic accident, it is related to poor digestion.
Wow.
And people were like, nah, no, I don't buy that. I call BS, because high cholesterol runs in my family and breast cancer runs in my family. So, you know, there's that. But even that, even genetic predispositions have to be triggered first. Just because your mom might have had breast cancer doesn't mean you're going to have breast cancer. But what will guarantee that you probably will get it or increase your chances of getting it is your lifestyle. How are you triggering those genes to express themselves? And the first thing is going to be, how are you digesting your food? And then all your other lifestyle choices, of course, matter. Are you a smoker? Do you exercise? Do you not exercise? But the first thing is, what are you putting into your mouth, and is it being broken down? You know? So, so there's so many things that people don't correlate to digestion, like you were saying. you know, hormones, huge. You can't even make hormones if you're not digesting properly and assimilating your fats and your cholesterol from your food. You're just not going to do it. You're going to have like a severe decline in hormones early. And then bone loss, massive problem. You know, your body is, so you've got this rotting food in your digestive tract because you're not breaking it down and disinfecting it. I mean, there's hydrochloric acid and there's digestive enzymes, which is different, right? And you're not breaking that food down. And now you're, it's hot in there. It's acidic. That food is, you know, putrefying. And the body needs to call in on some default mechanisms to put out that acidity so it can try to utilize the vitamins and the nutrition and the minerals and the water and everything in it. And so it does that by calling in the troops. So it calls in, I don't remember the lineup, but it's something like first it uses sodium and then it uses like, what is it? It's different minerals that it tries to use. And then it uses like lactic acid and it uses all these different mechanisms. But what it does is it pulls minerals from your system. And if you don't have a mineral reserve, then it's going to pull it from your bones. It's going to pull it out of your teeth and out of your joints.
Wow.
And then now you're in bone loss. So it's like it's a really, and no one correlates receding gums with poor digestion.
Right.
Or osteoporosis with poor digestion.
Totally.
But it all stems from that. And
when you're making poor food choices, you know.
Yeah.
See, what I think about for me is like, because I make these poor food choices, and then I'm like, where is this coming from? And it's actually that it's coming from my gut, from something in my body, and then I'm borrowing against something that I don't have already.
Right. I like the way you say that. Yeah. I always say rob Peter to pay Paul.
Yeah.
That's exactly what your body does. And you can do it as a young kid. Well, we couldn't, but
I can't do it anymore.
Yeah. But a lot of people can do it their whole lives and they're like, I was fine. I could do it, you know, and then all of a sudden you just can't, you don't have any reserves. I always say minerals are the currency of the body, right? They're the currency of the body. And so, you know, are you in debt? Are you actually, do you have a bank account, and like a checking account and a savings account? Or are you just working off of paycheck to paycheck?
It's so scary. Yeah. So scary when you start to see yourself going down that and you're like, man, I know that my food choice is, like, for me, it's chips. I have this thing with chips.
Your face. You just look so guilty for a second.
Yeah, I did. I'm addicted to chips. And I'll put down like a bag of chips at dinner. Now, the thing is, there's no nutritional value. No matter what you can see on the labeling, whatever it is, that's a bag of corn tortilla chips or even like those like slow cooked in the coconut oil. Like,
right.
Whatever.
Baked.
It's sugar. It's all sugar.
Right.
So when you continue to imbibe in those things, so what I'm like wondering is when I'm doing that, what am I borrowing against? Not only what am I borrowing against, but what am I feeding? What am I really feeding?
Yeah.
Because I'm not feeding the good. There's something, we talk about this, which is when you're out of balance, you crave things to keep you out of balance. So frustrating.
Yeah. Every bite you take, you're either fighting disease or feeding disease, you know?
Yeah. Wow.
Going back to dosing, like, how do you know? I always start with one and then I kind of like titrate up two or three and even four. So depending on what you've eaten, you can take it with like a protein meal, you can take extra. But I take about four or five, but when I travel, which is the thing that we wanted to talk about in a big way. And I'll take it with me and I'll take, like, depending on where I am, I'll take 5 to 10. And that's the thing, you know, like about burning.
Per meal?
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's the thing about the burning. Like, people say, oh, you know, it's if it's burning, you know, you have to just reduce. And that's just not correct, because with hydrochloric acid, when it's burning, you have to stop and heal the stomach, because you can take this in really large amounts. I mean, a really healthy young man, let's say 19-year-old boy, will make a quart, 32 ounces of hydrochloric acid per day. So 10 is, so you figure 3 capsules is like a teaspoon, or it's a teaspoon, 3 capsules. Come on, 90 capsules is not that much compared to a quart, right? So we could do the math, but I'm not good at math. So
you know what I was thinking when you were saying that? I was thinking, oh man, all the things I could eat now, you know, because like I have such a sensitive digestion.
Yeah.
I was like, oh man, I can't wait to like, you know, just gorge myself on burritos.
Like, well, that's part of, well, so here's what I think. I think that if you took a good 6 months where you were just committed to the basic foundation of digestion, mm-hmm. I bet you after 6 months, you'd see some of the most progress you've ever had.
Wow.
You know, I really think so. Charlie was diagnosed with Lyme disease. Dr. Marshall's protocol for him was this hydrochloric acid protocol. And it's literally like a bottle a day of hydrochloric acid.
Wow.
And Charlie was, you know, besides the fact that you're taking 90 capsules, which is going to make you sick, it's mm-hmm. going to just make you nauseous because there's so much vegetable cellulose in here. And it's just like, you know, but he didn't have heartburn. He didn't have wow. any kind of nausea. I mean, burning for, you know, the pressure you get from having acid reflux. He didn't have anything like that. And so that's a testament to the wow. fact that, you know, you shouldn't have burning when you mm-hmm. take hydrochloric acid. So I take about 4 capsules after any large meal. Mm-hmm. And then when I travel, I double it. If I were you going mm-hmm. to India,
yeah.
I mean, I would first of all see how many you can take while you're here. Mm-hmm. Take like 7 after every meal
yeah.
if you can.
Yeah. Great.
If you can. HCL is just a given, like no matter what. And then digestive enzymes are pretty important. That's just also, you know, digestive enzymes are things like lipase, amylase, protease, and they break down those very things. Like protease breaks down protein, lipase breaks down lipids are fats, lipase. I take 2, and I don't take them with everything.
Oh.
But for you, I would for a while, you yeah. know, just like you want to kind of reset your gut, mm-hmm. upregulate your gut so that it's working optimally. And that doesn't mean that if you have leaky gut, I'm not saying like it's not going to heal that, but it's the beginning of it.
Right.
It's the beginning of starting to, there's nothing worse than having undigested food in a bowel that is leaky.
Mm.
You know, you want to make sure what you are consuming is getting broken down.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. What about coffee?
So glad you brought that up as I have a sip. Yes. Coffee reduces stomach acid production. Period. Which is, you know, people that I know, like my mother, who I know, and a lot of people out there who have had H. pylori.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think I've said this recently. I don't know in a podcast how I'm almost positive that across the board, they were all heavy coffee drinkers.
It just wipes out that good flora, doesn't it?
Well, it reduces the stomach acid. And actually, that's not true. It impairs the body's ability to make it because it is acidic,
right?
But it impairs the body's ability to make it. That's
it's such a catch 22 because when you're tired, you know, you're exhausted, right? Because you've got this undigested situation going on. You're not digesting your food and breaking it down and getting the minerals from it. So you get tired. And then you want something to supplement that tiredness. So then you go to the coffee and you're in this like rat race of trying to get out of the fatigue.
Right.
And leaning on these things that you know are not good for you. And then the psychological part when you know you're drinking or eating something
mm-hmm.
that you know is not good for you. It's enough to make somebody crazy.
Yeah, it is. And it does. It makes people crazy. You know, again, I think you have to go back to the basics and keep your meals simple, keep them light. Mm. You know, heavy meals are going to be definitely something that tires you down. And, you know, portion sizes, keeping yourself just a little, you know, filling up 80%, not 100%.
Oh, it's so hard.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah, it's hard. I mean, the whole thing is hard. You know, all of this health stuff. I feel like it's just been a full-time job for me for so long. Mm-hmm. And it's going to continue to be if I want to maintain this level of thriving. I mean, I had lunch this afternoon and I was really tired afterwards. And I thought, God, what is going on here? And, you know, you have to did I digest my food? Am I having a hard time? Am I struggling? And it's like a constant conversation with yourself. What am I doing right and wrong? And it's hard when people have children and they've got, they're caretaking and they have a job. And it's just like, it's a lot. It's,
I can life only is imagine. Because it's just me.
Imagine. And yeah. I mean, you know, dealing now with, you know, Charlie just works so hard. And it's like, I have to maintain both of our health, you know, healths, both of our healths. I have to maintain both of our healths. And, you know, so it's me doing this level of engagement with our health, both of us, like, all the time. And so, you know, I get really fed up sometimes, and I just want to live. I just want to eat whatever and drink whatever. After a while, you know, you've established some balance in your gut, and you can go ahead and eat whatever and maybe have, you know, notice a reaction, but not have it take you down. You were talking about feeling like you were taken down just recently.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I was, yeah. I went down on, Monday. What's today? I was in
Thursday.
In Nevada City, came home off the flight and had just came home right off the flight and had to get like this full day. So I was like, I was exhausted from the flight and dehydrated, went through my day, full day. And then right at like a 10:30 at night, I finally had the chance to have dinner.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. And I had a small cup of lentil soup and
delicious
and a half a bag of potato chips.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And it was the ones that were slow cooked with the coconut oil. I was like, oh, it's got to be healthy. I went down. Now, here's the thing though. So then there's that. Plus, I had had 2 cups of coffee that day with whole milk. So my system, it absolutely shut down. And when I woke up it hit me that night. And then when I woke up the next morning, I was out. And I was out the entire day. I couldn't get up. I literally couldn't get out of bed.
You were fatigued.
Yeah, I was done. And my stomach, you know, was coming out of both ends.
Oh, wow. So you really got sick.
I got really sick.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And heading into the India trip coming up on Saturday.
Oh, boy.
I'm like, I was like, really, like last night thinking about like, am I physically good?
Yeah.
Right now to go to India? Like, do I really have what it takes to get? Because it's not easy.
No.
22 hours of flying. Plus another 2 hours when I get there in that harsh, India is a harsh environment.
Right.
Do I have what it takes physically?
And you have experience with it too.
Yeah. 6 months.
So you know. Yeah. So you know. Oh man. Well, I can help you in any way that I can, which is by saying, you know, right away today, start taking HCL to see how you fare with it. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't, then I would say maybe you can't go.
Yeah.
You know, because you've got no way to defend yourself from what you're being exposed to there.
Right.
And they don't have the same, you know, let's just say anything that we do.
Right.
Everything from the water you wash your hands in to just the things you touch out in the environment and farmers markets or wherever you're going and restaurants and all that. Mm-hmm. That all is so foreign to your microbiome,
totally.
To your ecology. And you need to like boost your own defenses. And one of those is by raising your hydrochloric acid production. The other would be, you know, definitely probiotics and then minerals. Like I think it's a big part of it, especially flying. Oh, and oregano oil. I would take some oregano oil with you and just on the plane, just constantly put it around your nostrils, even though it burns. And just constantly be smelling it, maybe put it in just a couple drops in a sip of water and slam it and just keep, it's antibacterial, antifungal, antiparasitic, anti-everything.
Oh, this was so fortuitous coming to see you today and leaving on Saturday. So excited.
I know. I mean, you know, this kind of trip can kill a person.
Yeah.
It can change your life forever. I can't tell you how many clients I have that have come to me and they're like, oh, I don't feel good. I think I have a parasite. And they're going on and on about their digestion and how they've been so healthy their whole lives. And I'm trying to, it's like a detective you know, mm-hmm. I'm like a detective. I'm like, okay, so going down the list, going through your medical history, I said, is there anything else you need to tell me? Mm-hmm. Anything? Have you ever had food poisoning? Have you ever? And then, oh, well, I was living in this ashram a few years ago and I got food poisoning and literally almost died. And I'm like, well, hold the phone, sit back down. This is major.
Yeah.
Because once you're exposed, it is a huge deal. You can't, you live with that for the rest of your life.
Right.
And it may not be a problem once you've cured, once you think you've cured it, and then you come back to the States and you're doing your thing. And then a few years later, you're like, why don't I feel well? Mm-hmm. And it can easily be that same pathogen that's just showing, rearing its head again. So, you know, you got to go back to the basics again. Start don't feed it. And how do you feed it? Rotting food. Mm-hmm. That's how you feed it.
That's right.
So those are the basics. Yeah. So let me just write that down. So just so I don't forget, so you can take it with you. And I mean, you're going to do yoga, right?
Right.
So at least you've got the managing stress levels handled.
And I'll be at this place called the Sadhva Center, which is a beautiful center up in the Rishikesh, you know, and they've, they do very well with their food there.
Oh, good.
So I'm going to be, you know, but still, even in that way, you know, when I was there last time, not at the Sadhva Center, somewhere else, I was there for 6 months. Wow. On the last day.
Oh my gosh.
The last day, Friday night, I was leaving Saturday morning. I was good the entire 6 months. I ate something, and when I woke up on Saturday morning, I was violently ill and had to travel for 2 days. And when I got home, what it was revealed to me through my nutritionist was that I had gotten a parasite. And it was a serious parasite. And she was like, you have gotten a parasite. 90 days it took me.
Wow.
90 days of not even fruit.
Oh my goodness.
I couldn't have fruit, nothing. It was just vegetables and protein and a lot of oregano. Yeah, yeah. A lot of oregano, a lot of herbs. Mm-hmm. But, she, you know, it was serious. And she was like, you know, you just got something there and you brought it home with you, and this is a serious thing. You have to take this very seriously.
Dr. Marshall used to say you don't really ever get rid of it, even tapeworm.
Right.
You don't get rid of it. You've introduced it into your garden, and now you have to maintain it. Now you have to manage it. And the way you do that is by making sure that your beneficial bacteria are always the abundant bacteria, that you're always on top of that, and that you're, so there's an eco balance. It's like, you know, if you have a garden, a beautiful, beautiful rose garden, and one of your rose bushes is infected with some disease, do you just rip up your whole garden?
Right.
No, you maybe you tend to that thing, but you manage the whole garden and you make sure that the soil is well, you know, that it's fortified and that everything is balanced and and healthy. So, you know, you don't give it the opportunity to take over again, because that's what happens, is then you go through stressful times, you stop taking your supplements, you start eating badly, you go through some kind of tragedy or whatever. And then all of a sudden, you're sick again. And you're like, oh, my God, I remember this happened to me 7 years ago in India. Oh, my gosh. And it's like, well, it's happening to you again because it's the same guy. It's the same thing.
Yeah, she says all the time, you have to make sure there are more good guys than bad guys.
And it's 80-20.
80-20. And if you're seeking things to please the bad guys, then that's something that you should be very cognizant of.
Yeah.
That's going to take you into the, what she said, it's interesting because what she said was, once you move into that world where you've got more bad than good, then you start down a really dark road, right? The road of like going to the Western medicine, but leaning hard on it, going down probiotics and antibiotics, or not probiotics, but antibiotics and surgeries. And it's just not a really...
Then they start removing pieces from you.
Yeah. I had a friend who had a piece of his intestine removed.
I know so many, so many people with, you know, colitis and Crohn's and different types of digestive issues. Young people who've had, you know, cancer, colon cancer, who've had to have their entire colons removed or pieces of it, or it's crazy because at that point you don't have a choice. There's no probiotic that's going to save you from that.
Right.
You know, you have to get on top of it like right away, like early in your life, as early as you can, and constantly be doing damage control with what's happened to you, because because you'll never be perfect again as mm-hmm. you were when you were born. We weren't even perfect then, were mm-hmm. we? But you'll never, never have perfect microbiome. You just have to, and the cool thing is that when you, just same way that you start, like you said, you start leaning towards the bad stuff and your body starts craving those things, the same thing happens when you favor the 80%. Mm. When you start nourishing your beneficial bacteria, you start craving that. It's like when you have a green juice and all of a sudden you're like, I want to go for a bike ride. Mm. And then the next thing you do in a coffee enema, and the next thing, you know, so it's like 80% of your time should be spent in that nourishing state of mind. Mm-hmm. And then 20% you can screw around and, you know, have, but that's the thing. You have to know what balance is, because mm-hmm. some people will pack in that 20% and all of a sudden it's 50.
Yeah, man.
You know? But, so 80% of your microbiome is beneficial bacteria. Mm-hmm. 20% are neutral and pathogenic. They're actually bad, like the H. pylori. We've got Streptococcus pneumoniae living in us. We've got staph. We've got strep. We've got all E. coli. Mm. We've got all these kinds of crazy bacteria that can kill you, but they're in this state of submission, being balanced by the harmony of your body and what you're doing to nourish it. So they just have a job to do and they do it. Mm. They just go to work, they do their thing, that's it. Mm-hmm. And then they wait. They wait for you to mess up. And then they start to proliferate and then you've got a problem.
And then they're oh, chocolate croissants and coffee for breakfast again? Yay!
Right. Oh, I love chocolate croissants.
I know.
And
I had a whole situation.
Speaking of chocolate.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's Valentine's Day.
I know.
Happy Valentine's.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Joe brought over some milk chocolate from Air One. What did this cost you? $20 in your firstborn?
Yeah, and my firstborn. Yeah, the chocolate croissant and coffee morning was not a great moment for me.
No.
I noticed that my behavior, man. I'm just like, I've become like very erratic and not like.
Well, so I say, you know, try, and I don't know if you've done this before. You probably have. You've been around for so long with this like I have.
Enough to know better.
Yeah, right.
You would think.
Like, you know, I always say pay it back, you know, like, you did this. So take extra of this and drink extra of that. And even getting in the sauna, you know, sauna is amazing, but it's extremely taxing. It like really depletes you of water and of minerals, and you have to replenish when you get out. If you just sauna'd every day, you would not do well. You have to replenish. You have to rehydrate and remineralize. Coffee enemas. Mm. People do way too many, but when you do one, you've just eliminated loads of good bacteria, bad bacteria, minerals, hydration. So you have to then replenish. You know, if you have a bottle of wine or two, you know that depletes you in these areas. You know your liver's been taxed. The next day, have some dandelion juice and some salty water with lemon.
Like, right.
It's like having the awareness of constantly, and I know it's exhausting. I can hear people right now saying, really, you live your life this way? That's horrible. But I have to. Mm-hmm. I have to, because otherwise I'm miserable. Mm. Miserable. I have some good news. Charlie and I just had our like first of the year blood work done, and I had the iron panel done, which is something that if anybody out there follows the magnesium advocacy group on Facebook, it's Morley Robbins is this man who runs the group, and he's really awesome. He's a great man. I'll always have a place in my heart for him, because he was there when I was suffering through crazy anemia, quote unquote, and he really helped me. Mm. And his whole theory and concept and research and science surrounds this idea that we are all toxic iron. We all have toxic levels of iron in the body. And I've done a few podcasts with him, and I'm going to have him back soon, actually. Where you are, everyone has just been exposed to these unbound rock forms of toxic iron through our diets, mostly. So through, you know, growing up eating cereal and bread and all these fortified bread goods and fortified milk that has these inorganic forms of iron that are literally, you can, you know, run a magnet through a cereal box and pull up iron shavings on the magnet. Like that kind of toxic iron. It's not iron that you would find in a cup of spinach or in some liver. And so he believes that, you know, everyone has this exposure, and his science is starting to really gain momentum. All the research he's pulled up and all the discoveries he's found throughout the world of different scientists and different doctors and universities finding that these things are true, and that Alzheimer's, one of the common denominators is these Alzheimer's patients have high levels of, you know, this unbound iron in their body. And and you can actually be anemic but still have these high levels of iron. And they say, oh, you need iron, so they give you iron pills, and now you have even more toxic iron. I mean, I literally would take an iron pill and 5 minutes later I would throw it up. My body was like, get it out. And they're like, you need a transfusion, you need an iron infusions, you need this, and I just kept listening to Morley, who was saying, you don't need any of that. What you need is, and he gave me this iron panel to do, this lab to check my ferritin and my iron serum and my RBC magnesium and all these things that show your actual levels of different minerals that matter, that show if you're really in crisis. You know, you can take a regular mineral panel or regular blood labs and not get the same kind of information, where the doctor's like, you're fine, you know, when in actuality you're anything but fine. Here you are with all these horrible symptoms. And so I took that 2.5 years ago, or 3 years ago now almost, when I had to have a blood transfusion. It was terrible, terrible time in my life. And then took the blood lab then. It was horrible. My hemoglobin was like 7.6. It should have been like 13. I was like a zombie. And then been working and working and working on it's called the root cause protocol. So it's just like the basic foundation of what I know to be true as far as mineralization. This is all Dr. Marshall stuff as well. Gut health, minerals, hormones, stress management, just diligently and creeping along. It felt like I felt like I was barely getting ahead. And then just the other day we went and had our blood labs and I got them back and I sent them to Morley, and he's like, oh my gosh, we have to do a podcast about this.
Wow.
Because things just are, he's like, you're starting to push. Now I have really high iron in my blood. And he said, you're pushing because of all the mineral saturation and your tissue oxygen and everything, it's pushing these toxic forms of iron into my bloodstream. And now I need to donate blood, or I need to do some kind of chelation where, like, you know, you can, there's different foods you can take and things that you can consume that help to eliminate a lot of that from your body. So anyway, that was a long story around the fact that it's working. Mm-hmm. You know, all this attention to my health is working. I've never felt better. I've never felt stronger. I mean, I think my biggest complaint with my health now is my eyesight. I just can't seem to, it just seems like it's declining all the time. And I don't feel like it has to be a liver thing, I think. But so that's why I'm doing all these liver flushes, just trying to get on top of it, because I know we age. I know things are going to start to fall apart. I know that's the way it goes, but I just have been that way my whole life. You know, I've been in the state of, like, you know, misery for so long, and I want to live at least to my 70s, late 70s, you know, pain-free, symptom-free. You know, of course we're going to have some things, but I just don't want to deal with what I used to deal with.
Oh, man.
And it's so nice to see those blood labs, you know?
It's, you know, I ran into a buddy, first of all, awesome, because I remember when you were chronically ill like that. And I remember all that, the blood transfusion, I remember all of it.
Well, and this chocolate is so good.
I know. It's so sweet, isn't it? And how tough that was. I remember all that. And now to, like, see you now, like, physically also see the transformation that's happened is remarkable to me. It's so inspiring.
I'm so happy. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, I send my mom pictures and stuff, and she's like, I'm so happy to see you with some weight. I posted a picture of my butt. I sent it to her. And some leggings. I was like, look, Mom, I have a butt. She's like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. I'm so happy you have a butt, honey. I'm so happy. Because she knows, you know.
The just struggle.
A struggle.
Yeah.
And, you know, just to be able to eat this chocolate and know that I'm not going to have an issue or have a cup of coffee. And that was the thing, a reason I brought it up is because at some point you don't have to worry about it. Right. At some point you will be okay.
Well, that's what happened to me. You know, when I did that 90-day, I mean, I was really sick for a while and could not tolerate any gluten. One little crust of bread would have sent me over the edge in like certain foods.
Amazing.
And when I did that protocol with Feline, it changed things for me. So noticeable that people around me said, wow, I've noticed that you can eat differently now. But within that, I didn't stay on that trajectory of things. And what's ended up happening is that now the bad guys have come back. She said they don't ever, like you said, they don't ever leave. They just kind of hang out, doing push-ups in the corner, getting stronger and stronger until you decide, like, you know what's a good idea? I'm going to start going with chocolate croissants again instead of a little bowl of, like, you know, gluten-free oats and maybe some cranberries and some almond milk or just a really delicious egg, you know, with some avocado. And you start spicing it up. And then the next thing you know, you're – what's interesting is that it compounds itself, disease, right? It's so tricky because for me, it's one little tiny change can compound into, oh, I'm eating like this today, and then I'm eating like this tomorrow. And I think that's the separation is like, because I will definitely qualify as an addict. Like, I have those tendencies where I can't just do, it's like one little thing, like all of a sudden it starts to become like a regular routine. And then it's just compounded interest over time, over time, over time, and then boom, it's on. I ran into my buddy Patty, who is in recovery from cancer. He had cancer.
Oh, wow.
Very serious, stage four.
Wow.
And I saw him randomly, right? There was no random, but like, you know, random. I'd been thinking about him and then saw him, and I was coming out of some place he was going in, and I said, what are you doing here? And he said, I'm just going for a walk. It was like 10 o'clock at night. And I said, but you live like 10 miles over there. Like, what are you doing over here? And he goes, I don't know. I've just been walking. And I was like, I sent my friends on. And I was like, I'm going to stay and hang out with Patty. And then you guys go. And I just went, I haven't seen him. And so we ended up sitting there and talking for an hour about his recovery and his outside of this cancer thing. And what he said was, I said, how did you know you were sick? Like, how did that start coming on with you? And he said, I started getting more lethargic and more tired, but I was chalking it up to old age, thinking, well, this is just me getting older. He said, I was 48, thinking, I'm moving into my 50s. And so, like, things just stopped being so attractive, like going for walks, walking up the stairs, start taking the elevator, bike rides. You know, like, I just started moving into this lethargy. And I was like, you know, something. And he went to the doctor, and the doctor said,
"You're fine.
You're getting older, bro.
Yeah.
You know, like literally, like you're getting older. You're not a spring chicken. Is what the doctor said. You're not a spring chicken.
and your levels look great.
Yeah, that's it. Everything's good. And he said, and I went back, and I said, you know what, we should maybe check some other stuff. He had to be proactive in it. We should check some other stuff, and it turned out he had colon cancer.
Wow.
And it took him all the way down, you know, all the way down. And now he's fully recovered. He looks at – I said, how do you feel now? He said, I feel better than I felt before I was sick. But he said – he said, how are you? And I said, you know, I'm physically tired. And he's like, you shouldn't be this tired. Like the first time anybody's really said that to me, and I was like, really? And he goes, no, man. You shouldn't be this tired. You're 43 years old. You need to go figure out what's going on. Like, don't just like sit in the back seat. You need to take – be in like the driver's seat on this thing. Which I don't think enough people get in the driver's seat. We just take the back seat and go, well, the doctor knows.
Well, they certainly say it's age, you know. I can't tell you how many times I hear that a day or a week is people are like, yeah, it's just getting old is so hard, you know. I mean, I hear it all the time. Mm. Just people say it because they're, and part of it is true, you know, as we age, we lose hormones, we lose the capacity to digest our food well, a lot of things, to recover well from working out, all those things are true. But, you know, you have to stay on top of it and make sure that you are not in a state of crisis and you're just kind of, you know, tolerating it. Especially people like Charlie, who never complains.
Right.
You know, yeah. I'm constantly like, oh, I got a hangnail. Right. You know, and he's just like, I'm bleeding out of my, you know. And it's like, you know, he doesn't complain.
You know, he's got he does the jujitsu. He's got the cauliflower ear once in a while. And I'm like, I saw him at one point and his ear just flared.
Oh.
And I was like, dude, doesn't that hurt? And he goes, I don't really think about it. And I was like, are you kidding?
How do you not like think about it?
I think about everything. I have one tiny little pain and I'm like, it's cancer. I'm dead. I'm already dead.
Can you imagine having your ear fat and bulbous like that on your head?
I would think it was like a tumor.
Yeah, and like it's on your head. It's not like, you know, the inside of your elbow or the back of your thigh. It's on your head and everybody's looking at it.
He's just like, I don't think about it. And I was like, dude, it's like a balloon on the side of your face. What do you mean you don't think about it? I think about it. I'm going to be thinking about it when you walk away.
I still think about it. It's 10 years later and I'm thinking about it, dude.
Wow. I was so impressed with his just level of being able to just move on.
It's a certain kind of person. I don't know that I sometimes I envy it, sometimes I don't, you know. I think there's benefits to both types of person.
Right.
You know, to being the canary in the coal mine. There's a reason there was a canary in the coal mine.
I love
because
that
it saved everybody. Right. They would send the canary into the coal mine and if the canary didn't come back,
that
they
poor
know
canary.
It was right. They knew
imagine?
It was poisonous.
He's like, are you kidding me? I got to go to the
I got to go.
No, I don't want to go, guys. Just play dead. No, play dead. You're good. No, I'm the canary in the coal mine. I'm the one they're making all the fuss about.
Oh, right. Man. And so, you know, and then if he does come back, people are like, oh, I'm going to do what they did. I'm going to do what that canary did and not go down there. I'm going to do what that canary did and I'm going to go down there. And so people are like, hey, you know, Kitty's doing coffee enemas and had great success. Mm-hmm. Hey, Joe is doing this particular kind of diet and he's having great success. It's like, I think that's a really good quality. Mm-hmm. That's at least the silver lining to that, you know.
I love the coffee enemas, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get really high off the coffee.
Do you?
I get really lifted.
Well, there's two different notions about why that could happen. Some people will say you're absorbing it, which is possible, but it's not the same kind of high, is it?
No, like it's when not you at drink all.
It? Yeah, not at
not
all.
Not at all. I don't get the like letdown.
Yeah. If I drank a quart of coffee, I would probably die.
I'd have an anxiety attack.
Yeah, I'd have an anxiety attack. You'd have to admit me in the hospital.
When I do a coffee enema, I'm on the phone talking to people that I haven't talked to in years, like I'm drunk. Like seriously, I'm like, oh hey, Mike G, what's up, dude? How's it going? How are you? He's like, let me guess, you just said coffee enema. And I'm like, I love you so much. I know I don't tell you very often. Hold on one second. And then the toilet flushes.
I'm the same. I get super inspired and I get creative and I get just like, it's so interesting.
Oh, it's amazing.
You know, there's some different, and the other idea about that is that, you know, you're releasing so much toxic bile that it gives you like, it's, you know, it's think of it in a symbolic way. You've just lifted up, so you lifted a burden off of you and you're feeling lighter. So, you know, I don't know what the truth is. All I know is I've been doing them for a long time and I don't have any kind of sensitivity to them when I do them as an enema, as opposed to when I do it. I mean, like I just had a decaf and my hands are sweating.
Yeah.
You know, I barely have any coffee and I get super sensitive. But coffee enema, 2 quarts.
No problem.
No problem.
One of my dear, dear brothers is a man named Michael Meyer and he's got this, he's a massage therapist. Phenomenal.
Mm.
I saw him years ago, like 4 or 5 years ago, and I was having lower back and hip issues.
Mm-hmm.
And he put his hands on my back and he said, oh, you're drinking too much coffee. And I was like, really? And he goes, you're drinking way too, I can feel it in your body. He goes, I don't want to work on you.
Mm.
He said, you need to do a coffee enema and you need to stop drinking coffee and give it a couple weeks and just see how you feel and see if these pain, and then I'll touch you then.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right. And so I started doing the coffee enema, stopped drinking the coffee. And for the first 5 days, my body, that my lower back around my adrenals, it hurt so bad. I was in so much pain.
Yeah.
And I was essentially detoxing from the coffee around those areas.
Yeah.
And then when I did the coffee enema, I literally felt that tension, all those things like move away and out of my body. And that got into, then he and I started getting into the question of like the chakras. You know, then there was another whole situation was like, okay, you've got these like these areas down here. Now what, how can we help release that in the chakra world? So it's interesting, like the little rabbit hole you can go down when you start really investigating this world.
Yeah. And what the different toxins do to the different organs and shut down those different chakras. And that's really, I had the same when I drink too much coffee, my kidneys and my adrenal area definitely hurt.
But you think about all of the people that like myself could, if I didn't have the awareness, right? If I didn't have the knowledge and the people around me educating me, I would take that lower back issue into my doctor.
For sure.
And I would say, yo, I got a situation in the back, you know, with my back, and I think I need surgery.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Chronic back pain.
Yeah. It's a lumbar issue. It's like a vertebrae issue. Like I would get that. I would literally get that.
Yeah.
Instead of just, you're drinking too much coffee.
Yeah, I mean, people totally, you know, I had this doctor that I used to work for, Dr. David Miller, he himself had Addison's disease from drinking like 3 pots of coffee a day.
Whoa.
Yeah. And he, you know, it's like he didn't have the awareness, and he's a medical doctor. He just didn't have the awareness of that
what
was going
that?
On. It's
what
just that's not what they learn, you know. They don't learn about that kind of functionality in the body, you know. They just learn about, you know, crisis and trauma and getting people out and treating symptoms, basically. You know, they don't correlate those things together. Like one of the things that I always say when people come to me with thyroid conditions and different types of thyroid issues is, you know, how's your dental? And they're just like, what? You know, it's like if you know, before you jump to the conclusion that you have thyroid cancer or that you've got, you know, that you've got Hashimoto's because of, you know, all these different, I mean, gosh, the insanity surrounding what could be wrong with you regarding thyroid with hormone. The hormone complexity is just so crazy. And I just, again, go back to the basics. How's your gut? Because as we talked about earlier, if you aren't processing and digesting and assimilating your B vitamins, hypothyroid, definitely thyroid deficiencies and thyroid imbalances. And then do you have low-grade infection from an old root canal or some crowns or a dead tooth or something that's bugging you, but it's not bugging you so much that you've really been, you know, it's not in the forefront of your thought process. It's just a tooth that's aching when you eat. Is that draining straight down your neck into your thyroid and your parathyroid?
Wow.
You know, like, is it draining into your sinus cavities and causing you chronic sinusitis? Is it, you know, I mean, there's so many things that a doctor, medical doctor, would never put those pieces of the puzzle together. And, you know, we have to think about those things because sometimes it's a simple fix.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I was talking with this woman who had done the Gerson therapy. And
Charlotte Gerson just passed.
I know.
She's 96 though.
She did. I mean, she looked great.
Yeah, she did. Her skin was beautiful. All those coffee enemas.
I know. she said that she had been diagnosed with hyperthyroidism. They wanted actually to remove part of her thyroid. And she was there because of cancer. She had thyroid cancer. And when she started doing the Gerson therapy, her face ballooned up, the right side of her face ballooned up. And it turned out that she had a crown, an impacted crown.
Oh my goodness.
From a childhood injury. And it was causing the thyroid thing. So they removed, the Gerson unveiled that. And she saw the injury. And then she was able to have it removed and cleaned. And as soon as she did that, the cancer went.
I mean, that is amazing.
Yeah.
That really is a miracle. I love it. I have a very good friend, this couple, and he's passed, unfortunately, but similar thing, you know. He started off with seeing every doctor known to man. He was having this issue here under his lymph node of under his chin, and it was just this little bump, and you know, the doctors right away wanted to take it out.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, because it was kind of attached to the back of his tongue, and then he'd have to remove part of his tongue, and that would affect how he eats, and it just was a big deal. And it started to grow and grow and grow, and then he finally came to see Dr. Marshall. And he turns out by this time it had been years, and he also had other things going on, other infections happening at Epstein-Barr and different things. Mm. But he had they took a cadaver bone to fix his jaw. Basically, he had a tooth that needed to be replaced. Mm-hmm. And in order to do that, the bone needed to be replaced, the jawbone, because the bone was porous and brittle, and it had been soaking up infection for years and years and years and years. So they used a cadaver bone, but embedded in the bone, how this happened, they don't know. Maybe over time, one of the like fillings from one of the adjacent teeth kind of got pushed out or something and got embedded into the jawbone, and they found it in an x-ray. By the time they discovered this, his cancer is so big on his neck. It's like a small grapefruit there, or big grapefruit. And I mean, it was like almost too late, you know, but he didn't do any alternative therapy because they, like I said, wanted to take his tongue, and it would have been a horrible life. But he extended told him how long he'd live, and he lived 5 years longer than they thought. And, but had he found that sooner, had he discovered the dental condition sooner, it probably would have never escalated to that point. Mm-hmm. And I just think that, you know, people know that I say this all the time, but dental is just one of the most important things besides your gut health that you need to focus on. Is like, if you've got dental stuff, do what you can, budget it out, figure it out, find a way to rectify that, and find a good dentist, because that matters too.
Yeah, it does.
Major. Look for bio dentists, you know, dentists that use ozone therapy, dentists that use dental dams and caries dye staining and different things like that, you know, like 3D imaging. And those are the kind of dentists, laser therapies, stuff like that. Anyway, that's all good stuff, man.
Yeah.
I wanted to say about what I'm taking, because people are like, well, how did you get that? So it's changed over the years. I never take, except for HCL, I never really do the same thing over and over and over. Mm-hmm. I alternate what I take. So I'll take I'll do greens drinks, like greens powders, and have those in the morning. And then sometimes I'll just do a multivitamin. Like right now I'm doing Nutrient 950 from Pure Encapsulations without iron. And I take three of those a day, and that has everything in it, and it kind of sums up my, you know, just like when I'm busy and writing and podcasting and I don't have time to like make green smoothies and things like that. And I always take HCL, digestive enzymes. I take ancestral supplements. That got me out of anemia big time. So either you can take the spleen or you can take the liver. And incredible. Like I feel like that really was one of the turning points, was taking that for sure. And of course I have that coupon code, which is Kitty, KITTY. And you can go to Ancestral Supplements and click on the Shopify page. And they have so many supplements for, like we were talking about, if you're not assimilating your B vitamins, you know, if you can get them in this form and you take HCL and your digestive enzymes, you're going to assimilate that whole pill. You're going to take all of it. You're going to do really good assimilating all those nutrients. And then minerals, of course, that comes in the multivitamin, but you can also do green smoothies. What else? Well, so the HCL and the digest, we should definitely talk about this real quick before we close up. So most digestive enzymes come with the HCL in the bottle, like in the product. So you'll have pepsin and all these full spectrum digestive enzymes, but you'll also have the HCL inside the capsule. And you know, almost every company does this, everyone. And, you know, Dr. Marshall, who was, this was his life. Like, this is all he did was, he had a lab that was very, very expensive. And all he did was his own research. And he, over years and years and years, discovered that when the HCL and the digest are in the same capsule, the HCL degrades the digestive enzymes sitting on the shelf. It doesn't happen so much in the gut because it's a process that happens in the gut that keeps you from having that issue. But on the in the pill, in the capsule, on the shelf, in the store or wherever, it degrades it. So he never made them together. He always made the HCL separately from the digestive enzymes. So you take the digestive enzymes with your meal, with your food.
Yeah.
And then you take the hydrochloric acid after your food, and you can take it up to 30 minutes after. Mm. Why? It's just the biological way that the body makes it. So, you know, he did the research, not me. I trust him. So you don't have to trust me. You can do what you want. But I get the best results by taking digest first, HCL after, separate them. Premier Research Labs is the best price for the HCL. Like I said, it's like $14 for 90 capsules. That's unheard of. You're not going to get that in a digestive enzyme mixture. And so if you go to healthyguckerel.com and you click on the shop page, you can sign up for your own Premier Research Labs account. They are nutraceuticals, so they're hard to get in other places. You can get them on Amazon, but I wouldn't trust it. Plus, they're usually more. So go to healthyguckerel.com, click on the shop page, and sign up for your own account. There's no fee for signing up for your own account. And then you can peruse the whole website and see what they have to offer. The HCL, the HCL activator. HCL activator is a potassium compound. It's a separate supplement. And when you take HCL with HCL activator, it actually has the ability to remethylate dying cells in the body. So when, you know, whenever we eat cooked food and whenever we breathe pollution, like methyl groups die. So when you eat anything, methyl groups die. So mixing the HCL with the activator helps you to kind of remethylate. Premier Research Labs, they have a bunch of different types of things that you can check out. The HCL is the cheapest, and I would get a case if I were you, because it's only, I think you even get a discount if you order that many, and you'll just have them. You'll have them all the time. You have one in your glove compartment, your car. You have one after sushi. Charlie and I take 7 each. Anytime we have sushi, we take 7. And, you know, it's just wise. Just, if I could only have one thing on a deserted island, it would be HCL.
Really?
Yeah, because that would be the thing. I mean, I'm sure if you, you know, really think about it, okay, well, I'd like a water filter. But assuming that I know how to get clean water, but you could probably stick a capsule of HCL in a glass of dirty water, and it would probably kill all the bad stuff in there, and then you could drink it. So I don't know.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to take these before I go.
Yeah. Well, that was fun. Thanks for the chocolate.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you. And you too.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody. Can you start following me on healthyguckerel_ on Instagram? Because I'm doing a lot of fun work on my Instagram and just making it more appealing to the eye, because I guess that's what you have to do these days, is the aesthetic is important.
Yep.
And also, I posted the amazing, amazing results, and I say I do not use amazing lightly, of the Truth Treatments before and after shot that I used Truth Treatments for a year with the retinol and the vitamin C cream amazing on my chest and on my décolleté. And it was like, it's crazy. I've got so much traffic from it because people are like, wait a second, how did you do that? So anyway, truthtreatments.com, and the coupon code is HaveTheTruthCM, all one word, HaveTheTruthCM, as in Catalina Martone, 10% off. And then of course the probiotics were taught. That's one thing I didn't say, taking probiotics consistently, spore-based probiotics, really, really important that they're spore-based, so they make it past your stomach acid into the small intestine. And I use Just Thrive. You can go to thriveprobiotic.com and get 20% off. It's a big discount. And that's HGG20 is the coupon code. And that's it, friends. So thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Kitty. This is awesome. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, thanks. We'll talk to y'all soon. Bye.